As more women enter fields previously dominated by men, there has been a lot of talk about the best ways to help girls feel more empowered and find their voices.
Our next guest says that helping girls find and cultivate their sense of humor can be a good first step in building that confidence.
Ellen McCarthy is with us now. She's a staff writer for the Washington Post Style section. She recently wrote about girls and humor. Ellen, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So looking at this piece, this is just part of, the nuanced conversation about empowering girls. So why did you want to look at humor?
You know, my interest was sparked, in truth, after the election, when I noticed that some of the people who were coming out most powerfully in the resistance were women with backgrounds in comedy, meaning the Chelsea Handlers and Amy Schumers of the world. And it just sort of made me interested to think, you know, why is it that these women, you know, thinking of Samantha Bee even, are finding that they have a voice and a way to reach people that others weren't? And it sort of just sent me down a trail of sorts that made me really think about the ways that women and women's humor are treated and shaped in this world. And what I found was that there are some ways that women and girls are socialized out of using humor, and it's really subtle. Nobody ever says, oh, don't be a funny girl, or don't use your sense of humor, little girl. It's much more subtle than that. But even just getting the message, girls aren't funny, you know, that sort of thing seeps in. So these women who sort of bucked that and overcame it, it seems to me they got really used to using their voice. And so when there came a time when it was important to use their voice, it made sense to me that they were the ones who stepped up.
Now, and you spoke with a lot of women for this piece, and they ranged from ages, 13 to 37. For women who were already in the workforce, who are a little bit older, what were their experiences?
Yeah, so a lot of them sort of were able to think back and say, you know, gosh, I was a really funny little kid, but then I remember getting these messages, oh, sit still, be more quiet, tamp it down a little bit, hush, hush, or, you know, that's really not what ladies do, or, you know, act like a lady, meaning don't laugh so loudly, don't be so loud, don't be bawdy, don't be crass, words that are often very very gendered, right? When you think about even the words that are used to talk about women and humor, it's words like brass, you know, mm-hmm. Words that you don't hear applied to for men. So what these women often told me was that they were funny as little kids, but then something happened. You know, those subtle messages got through, and they often hid it into a private space with only their female friends, or hid it all together so that it was just sort of their internal monologue that became their sense of humor, and they didn't let it out into the world. And so for some of them, once they got through high school and sort of said, well, I don't care what anybody is telling me, I'm funny and I'm going to use it, they were able to reclaim that voice. But for others, who I spoke to both for the piece and then who I received a lot of reactions after that, felt that it never really fully came back. And that, to me, is the really sad part, that if you're not using that sense of humor when you're in junior high and when you're in high school, then you're missing out on all of this time practicing, right? Because using humor is a skill like any other skill, and if that muscle doesn't get used, it really can weaken and wither, and then it becomes much harder to flex it once you get into the workplace. And what we found is that it's a huge asset to have in the workplace. There are studies that show that when somebody is perceived as being funny, they're also perceived as being more confident, more competent, and they're more likely to be elected into positions of leadership. And gosh, those are things we want for our girls.
Sure. I mean, and it is really interesting to hear that humor is not necessarily something that comes naturally to people. Even the funniest people have to get that reinforcement that they're funny, and then they have the confidence to move forward. And even finding humor in what might seem like banal situations, being able to make something funny takes, you know, a fair amount of skill. Yeah. So I guess one of the questions that I have for you then is, at what point have researchers been looking at this specifically with girls so far as you can tell?
Very little. Really very little. I mean, there aren't that many serious psychological studies of humor in general. You can find a few, and there was one interesting one where a neurologist actually went to, like, food courts and college campuses and just sat and watched people interacting and took notes on who was making who laugh and things like that. So he had sort of really good data, but there's very little research done on humor in general and almost none done on humor and gender. So it's something I'd love to see more of.
We're talking to Ellen McCarthy right now. She is a staff writer for the Washington Post, and we're talking about how if you want your girls, your daughters, your female students to be empowered, that looking to humor and cultivating humor might be a good way to achieve that. And so you were just talking a second ago about studies done to look at, even though they aren't necessarily extensive, studies to look at, you know, who is cracking jokes. How does gender play a role between, you know, young men and young women in adolescence when they are, you know, still trying to figure out the world around them?
Right, yeah. And this is where psychology kind of leaves off and some evolutionary biologists step in with their theories of what happens. And what they would say is humor telegraphs intelligence, right? It takes a certain level of intelligence to be able to come up with a joke, come up with a crack right on the spot and respond. You know, nobody walks around with their SAT scores in their back pocket. You don't necessarily, go on a first date and say, you know, my IQ score is blah, blah, blah. But you can be funny, and that's a way of showing intelligence. And what these evolutionary biologists would say is that women are inherently looking for providers, and it's no longer big, beefy, brawny hunters who will provide best for a family. It is people, men of intelligence that would have the biggest earning capacity. And so it becomes this very sort of basic biological explanation for why men are more likely to crack jokes in crowded bars and in the context of women, and why women might laugh more. There's a, you know, this old saying that, you know, when a guy says that he's looking for a woman with a sense of humor, what he really means is that he wants somebody to laugh at his jokes. And
sure.
It's sort of horrifying, but I think, you know, a lot of us see that in practice, you know, that there's not, when they looked, there was one study that looked at online dating profiles, and it was really important to women to find a guy with a sense of humor. It was really not that important to most guys to find a woman with a sense of humor. And what, the evolutionary biologists would say is that it's not necessarily the sense of humor that people are interested in. It's that next level intelligence that can honestly bring a higher income.
Sure. And so looking back at girls, I mean, I want to use that word sort of generally, but, you know, mm-hmm. kids that are female or, you know, identify as female who are trying to still figure out the world. And you spoke with some young girls about trying to be funny, wanting to be funny. You know, what did they tell you?
They told me that they were funny, well, right? They see themselves as funny, but they were cognizant of the fact that their humor gets shut down more, both from adults and from boys. Now, I'm talking specifically with girls who've sort of entered middle school, junior high age, and high school. They can really recount times where, you know, a boy would have said to them, "That's not funny, leave it to us." And, you know, another girl remembered a time when she made a joke and everybody kind of sniggered, but then, you know, the boy next to her made a very similar joke and everybody laughed and laughed. You know, and so the girls I talked to were conscious of this and were conscious of the fact that it didn't seem to be winning them a lot of points, either with their teachers or with their male peers. Now, I think that once you get into older high school and into college, all of that sort of shifts and confidence level shifts. But, you know, you got to think about, gosh, you know, in my day it was 17 Magazine, but today I know it's all on YouTube. And what is what's the focus for girls? You know, what does society tell girls they need to focus on? Well, you know, the contours of their makeup, right? Their perfect homecoming outfits, how they look, how they look, how they look. You know, there's not a lot of Teen Beat magazine saying, here's why it's important to be funny, or here's why you should use your voice and speak up, even when you're saying something that isn't necessarily popular. It's important to claim your voice. It just isn't the focus, unfortunately, for teenage girls, and I think that they can lose their voice a little bit because of it.
Girls who want to cultivate this have the desire to be funny, want to be funny. We would imagine that their parents would also want them to feel confident. So how can parents help girls find their senses of humor?
Yeah, I think it starts really young, and it starts with modeling, right? If you're funny with your children, boys and girls, of course we want boys to be funny too. I mean, my feeling is, gosh, don't we all just want, especially today, as many people to be funny as possible, just so that we have this great, you know, light, wonderful way of being in the world through humor. So modeling it, being funny with your kids, cracking jokes, telling jokes to each other, being silly, not being afraid to, you know, dance around and be a goofball so that they then feel comfortable doing that. But I think the other thing is encouraging their attempts at humor, even failed attempts, right? Because like we were saying, this is a skill that's practiced. And so when you are out there shooting basketballs, you don't hit every one. But the more you shoot, the better you get. And so praising even attempts at humor that maybe you don't find funny as a parent, but that kid is asking you, is that funny, Mom? Is that funny, Dad? Yeah, just going along with it and laughing. I think those are really important ones. But then also, you know, sharing humor with them, you know, seeking out, if your kids are on YouTube, let's watch some videos of Ellen DeGeneres or whoever you, and there are tons of YouTube comedians now, and, you know, steering towards those rather than the, you know, Kim Kardashian style makeup tutorials.
Well, Ellen, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Ellen McCarthy is a staff writer for The Washington Post. She joined us today to talk about why cultivating humor in girls can help them be more confident.
Coming up next, Halloween is nearly here, and it's time for you to share what you're going to go as this year. You can call in right now at 800-642-1234. What is your costume, or are you looking for costume suggestions? We can try to help you out. I don't know. I'm not very good at it. Maybe you are.
No, but we can certainly try.
Call in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll take your calls coming up on Central Time.